Good morning, fellow saints, and welcome to the house of the Lord this morning in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're happy to be here, and what a gorgeous day He's given us. I pray that you will support our brothers on the podium with me this day, that your prayers might be with them, that they might perform their duties according to the will and the Spirit of the Lord. And I pray that Spirit will permeate out to the through the congregation. This day our worship will be a worship of holiness. The scripture I chose for today is out of the third chapter of Malachi. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom you delight in. Behold, he which shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who will abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is the refiner's fire and the fuller's soap, and he shall set as a refiner and purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in days of old, as in former years. We'll continue our service with the singing of hymn number 425.
Almighty God, our kind and loving Heavenly Father, we bow now before you, Father, in humble reverence to thy greatness and to thy majesty. And we come now, Father, to thank you for sending your Son to drive the darkness away and to prepare for us this beautiful, beautiful day. We thank you, Father, for the Spirit that you've sent to lead us together this hour to worship you. And we ask, Father, that by that same Holy Spirit of love, you would open our ears that we might hear your voice. Touch our minds, Father, that we might understand your words. And send your Spirit into each and every heart, that if there might be darkness in any heart, that that Spirit of love would drive that darkness away at this time. We ask, Father, that by your Spirit, you would author all that is said and done here this hour and this day. And we come, Father, to give glory and honor to you and to you only. And we make this prayer in the beautiful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Good morning. Luke chapter 16 has a wonderful parable that Christ gave about a not so wise steward. I've read it many times, and every time I read it, I have a little bit different understanding of what it actually means, or what I believe it to actually mean. But being a wise steward, we must do well with the money that we have. When times are good and we have good jobs, it's easy to give the Lord what He has requested of us to tithe. When times aren't so good, if we're not wise stewards with our things, it's a little bit more difficult. But if you think about this, we should be the same whether we have plenty or whether we don't. We should keep track of everything. Stopping at a convenience store every morning, spending $2 or $3 that's not necessary is up to you, of course. But that's a lot of money by the time the end of the year rolls around, $3 or $4, maybe even thousands of dollars, depending on what it is you buy. And that's a lot of money that could be put towards something else. Refined gardens, new walls in your landscaping, whatever. I don't remember who said it this morning in class, but someone made the statement, the Lord didn't give any temporal law that didn't have a spiritual component. That wasn't exactly how it was said, but that's the way I understood it. And think of our stewardship. It's the same way. How many times do we indulge just for a moment something that is not that good for our heart or for our spirit? And we take it in. We choose to watch it. We choose to listen to it, whether it be TV, radio, whether it be in person. These are things that will cost us, that we must clean our hearts and take time to purify ourselves. Shall we pray? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Lord, please help us to keep our hearts and our spirits clean, that we may do both with the temporal laws and the spiritual laws. Your will that you have put forth for us, that we may desire to be clean, that we may be in your presence, that our work may benefit you, not for our benefit, but for yours. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
they'll know that we are Christians by our love. Thank you, Jackie. Scripture lesson this morning is taken from the Doctrine and Covenants, verse 2. Behold, verily, verily, I say unto you that mine eyes are upon you. I am in your midst, and ye cannot see me, but the day soon cometh that ye shall see me, and know that I am, for the veil of darkness shall soon be rent, and he that is not purified shall not abide the day. Wherefore, gird up your loins and be prepared. Behold, the kingdom is yours, and the enemy shall not overcome. Thank you, Sister Jackie and Sister Stacy. Last Sunday, Sister Jackie told me that my little sister Stacy wouldn't be able to sing this morning, perhaps. I call her my little sister. I said, well, then I'm not going to preach. But since you sung so beautifully, after what you've been through this week, Stacy, I guess I'm going to have to go through with this. Thank you so much. I deeply appreciate it. Because when we try to do what's right, and we give that extra effort, then and only then can the Lord bless us. So we have to ask ourselves, have I done all I can do for this cause of the gospel, to promote this gospel, the gospel of Jesus Christ? From section 23, if you have your Doctrine and Covenants, we can go to that just for a moment. Let's look at verse 5. This revelation was given through Joseph to Brother Oliver. And thy brother Oliver shall continue in bearing my name before the world and also to the church. And he shall not suppose that he can say enough in my cause. And lo, I am with him to the end. We must feel the same way. We can not suppose that we can say enough for the cause of Jesus, and to continue to learn all we can learn about him. My good friend Glenn, who I grew up with, if I mention his last name, some of you would know it. His father passed away a couple of years ago, but he appeared to him the other day. Glenn said he was a little startled. And I said, what'd he say? He said, never stop learning. That's what he told Glenn. They're both school teachers. But Glenn is the only one alive now. He's a school teacher, retired just last year. That meant so much to him that he's made a concerted effort to study all the more because his father appeared to him at the foot of his bed after he's gone on to his reward. And that's the message I feel that Glenn's dad and those who have gone to the other side is trying to tell you and me. Never stop learning. And I asked him, we had a little conversation there, Learn what, Glenn? Did he say specifically? Well, no. But all things spiritual. So if you learn and study all things spiritual, you'll know all things, the Lord says. So we go to section 85, verse 21. It says, I give unto you a commandment that ye shall continue in prayer and fasting from this time forth. And I give unto you a commandment that you shall teach one another the doctrine of the kingdom. Teach ye diligently, and my grace shall attend you, that you may be instructed more perfectly in theory, in principle, in doctrine, in the law of the gospel, in all things that pertain unto the kingdom of God, that is expedient for you to understand, of things both in heaven and in earth, and under the earth, things which have been, things which are, things which must shortly come to pass, things which are home, things which are abroad, the wars and the perplexities of the nations, and the judgments which are upon the land, and a knowledge also of countries and of kingdoms, that ye may be prepared in all things when I shall send you again to magnify the calling whereunto I have called you and the mission with which I have commissioned you. We are all commissioned, every one of us in this room, to learn all we can learn for the sake of the gospel, to bring others into his fold. What a marvelous privilege it is. What a marvelous opportunity. In those who have gone on before, will we see them again? Absolutely. There is no question that we will see them again in that great reunion that the Lord is preparing for his saints. But in the meantime, there's so much for us to do. We cannot settle for anything less, saints, anything less than righteousness. We cannot settle for anything less than holiness. We cannot settle for anything less than giving to our God and this cause our might, mind, and strength. We cannot receive anything less, brothers and sisters, of celestial glory. It's been said, in fact, one of our older apostles said it this way. There's three types of people. There's sinners, repentant sinners, and sons of God. And when you think about that, the three that hung on the cross, that's exactly what that entails. But through a greater understanding from my brother Russell Beebe, he told that that's not necessarily true. And I'll show you why. The men on the cross, other than Jesus, they were both still thieves. You see, both of them did wrong, but only one knew that he could apologize there at the last and perhaps be accepted of the Savior. But there's a difference. And the only difference that I can say to you is that it's the difference between Paul and Alma that we spoke about this morning in class, and I really appreciated that class, and interestingly enough as it is, I'm going to talk about that a little bit here. These are the best examples, I say. Paul simply stated to the chief captain after he came to Paul and said, aren't you one of the ones that were putting down the church, etc., etc.? And Paul said, yes, but I was freeborn. And that, brothers and sisters, was almost to the extent of Paul's apology, publicly at least. And sure, there are other places that allude to that and so forth. Consider him the man that was next to Jesus on the cross and defended Jesus. Now, this is the message of the gospel. My grandfather had it right when he said, never say or do anything you have to apologize for. Is it difficult? Sure it is. But it is so easy by the same token. This is the message of celestial glory. As the glories differ one from another. The other night after the priesthood meeting, we came out here and Harry and I were talking out in the parking lot. It was a full moon, beautiful, so bright. But it wasn't noonday, was it? As we compare the glories, as in section 76, where it talks about the celestial, terrestrial, and the telestial glories, it was good enough for us to probably even read out there. It was so nice and bright and beautiful. It still wasn't like noonday of the celestial glory. You and I can settle for nothing less than celestial glory, brothers and sisters. How beautiful the Lord illustrates this and lays it out for us in section 76 as only He can do. What a wonderful thing we have, brothers and sisters. I was reminded, I'm going to go to Alma and talk just a little bit about what we were talking about in class this morning. I've already got my ribbon flipped open to it that Joe was talking about. And I told him I was going to read some of the very same things. Coincidence? Book of Mosiah, chapter 11. For said he, I have repented of my sins. This is Alma. Now, just remember, Alma had been taught by his father, Alma Sr., and he knew what was right and wrong. But as we do, sometimes we stray from the path, don't we? And have been redeemed of the Lord. Behold, I am born of the Spirit, Alma said. And the Lord said unto me, marvel not that all mankind, yea, men, women, and all nations, kindreds, tongues, all people must be born again. yea, born of God, changed from their carnal and fallen state to a state of righteousness, being redeemed of God, becoming his sons and daughters. And they become new creatures. And unless they do this, they can in no wise inherit the kingdom of God. I say unto you, unless this be the case, they must be cast off. And this I know, because I was like to be cast off. Alma was. Nevertheless, after wading through much tribulation, repenting nigh unto death. Here's the difference. Alma was repenting nigh unto death. And all Paul said, I'm born again. I'm born free. The Lord in his mercy hath seen fit to snatch me, Alma says, out of an everlasting burning, and I am born of God. My soul hath been redeemed from the gall of bitterness and the bonds of iniquity. I was in the darkest abyss, but now I behold the marvelous light of God. My soul was wrecked with eternal torment, but I am snatched and my soul is pained no more. I rejected my Redeemer and denied that which had been spoken of by our fathers. But now that they may foresee that he will come and that he may that he be remembereth every creature of his creating. Alma knew the difference. He had been taught by his father and other priests. But he strayed away, as I said. But he came back. In other words, to whom much is given, much is required, you see. That's the difference, brothers and sisters. Oh, we can be like Paul. There'll be many like Paul who simply just repent and in their hearts say that they won't do that again. But there's more to it than that, isn't there? We must repent. How is it said here? Nigh unto death. That's quite some repenting, isn't it? What a blessed Lord we have, brothers and sisters. And we must defend the cause of righteousness because we've been given great gifts in this church. As Brother Tony was speaking last Sunday, speaking about the sacrament of the Lord's Supper that we partook of last week, I was sitting back over there and remembering when Tony was speaking of the couple of times that I visited a ward, they call it the ward, of our far distant cousins out west, I'll call them, for a sacrament meeting. You know, they have sacrament every Sunday. Every Sunday. And they drink water every Sunday. Again, every Sunday. It's passed by a 12-year-old deacon, and his older brother is 14 years old. He's a teacher. His older brother is a 16-year-old priest. His older brother is an 18-year-old elder. Aren't you thankful for being in this church, the way the government of this church is set up, just like it was? That's not being called as was Aaron, is it? Well, enough of that. But I was reminded of how if we don't hold the sacraments and the ordinances of the church in great honor, they soon become watered down, don't they? They really do. They become a ritual. A ritual is of man. Ordinance is of God. How grateful we must be for that which we enjoy once a month. And have the wine served to us, as pointed out in the Book of Mormon. How blessed we are, brothers and sisters. So therefore, if we're blessed, we must stand for him this day, the day of our probation. The Lord said, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father who is in heaven." I'm reading from Matthew 10, verse 28. "But whoso shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father who is in heaven." It's our choice. What a blessed day. What a blessed church. What a marvelous opportunity we have, brothers and sisters, to be in the latter day light of this gospel. So then, having said that, we have to go to section 76 for just a moment, if you would. Let's look at paragraph 6. We saw the terrestrial world, and behold, and lo, these are they who are of the terrestrial. Think about this as the moon glory now, whose glory differs from that of the church of the firstborn, who have received of the fullness of the Father, even as that of the moon differs from that of the sun of the firmament. Behold, these are they who died without law, and also they who are spirits of men kept in prison, whom the Son visited and preached the gospel unto them, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh. In other words, now, in this day, who received not of the testimony of Jesus in the flesh, but afterwards received it. I don't want to wait that 1,000 years to receive God the Father. I don't know about you, but I just cannot imagine all of you being in the celestial glory and me being in the terrestrial, and I can't be with you for 1,000 years. These are they who are honorable men of the earth, who were blinded by the craftiness of men. Do we see the need to study? These are they who receive of His glory, but not of His fullness. These are they who receive of the presence of the Son, but not of the fullness of the Father. Wherefore they are bodies terrestrial and not bodies celestial, and differ in glory as the moon differs from the sun. What a sobering thought it is to think that some will be there and some will not, and we'll have to wait that 1,000 years. It's more than you can bear. Let's look at section 59 just for a minute, paragraph 5. I'm reading from paragraph 6. Learn that he who doeth the works of righteousness shall receive the reward, even peace in this world and eternal life in the world to come. I, the Lord, have spoken it, and the Spirit beareth record. It's quite simple, isn't it? This gospel that is preached to you and to me has meaning in our lives for this day. I've been through 2 100-year floods, and I've lived through 1 500-year flood. You that are my age and older, the same. They call these floods unprecedented. We can no longer use that word unprecedented, can we, brothers and sisters? These truly are the latter days. What a marvelous opportunity. There were over 60 tornadoes 3 years ago in the month of January among our land. Over 60 in 1 month in January, no less. That set a record for the entire year that year. These are the latter days, brothers and sisters. The Lord's trying to tell us these things. Speaking of tornadoes, I think I have time to share just a little something. It's big for me. My great-great-grandfather came down to the land of Zion in a covered wagon with many people behind him. And you can just picture this in your mind on those frontier days. And they were tired. They'd been traveling all day long. They wanted to stop and rest. So they did. But something just kept eating at my great-great-grandfather. I just learned about this 2 years ago at a family reunion. He said, we can't stop here. We just can't. Oh, they were pretty upset with him. They were tired. They didn't want to go on. He said, we cannot stop here. He just pressed the issue. He said, we cannot stop here. So they all loaded up their wagons again, went about 3 miles further, and he said, this is fine. This will do. The next morning, they found out that a tornado came through that area and tore up every tree in that area, the ground as well. This is the gospel, and this is the God that we worship, brothers and sisters. The report got back to that band of people that there was a tornado from a rider. You know how you send riders back and forth to make sure nobody's behind you and coming up on you or whatever. This is a simple testimony, but it's a marvelous testimony that the Lord will take care of his people. He came down here, had a family, and so forth. The rest is history. I'm standing here preaching to you today. This is the God that we worship. This is our God. What a marvelous opportunity, brothers and sisters, we have. I want to talk to you just for a minute about the importance, and you might think it's old hat, but the importance of the Book of Mormon, and I'll tell you why in a moment. This Book of Mormon that we have, brothers and sisters, contains the fullness of the gospel, as you well know. Latter-day Revelation clearly states that the Book of Mormon contains the fullness of the gospel, the Book of Mormon, as the Word of God has been rejected by nearly every church upon the face of this earth in an article that I was reading last week. The persecution of those who believe it to be true is surfacing again. If we're able to separate our thoughts from politics, we can also observe another example of rejecting the fullness of the gospel in this last election, General. America, a Christian nation, rejected a candidate who professes the Book of Mormon as the Word of God, which contains the fullness of the gospel. I believe this rejection is symbolic, this author said. I couldn't agree with him more. I think it's a type and a shadow myself as well. If we can separate our political preferences for a moment. So this gospel in which our Lord and our Redeemer gave his very life, is what he's given you to either accept it or reject it, and either bear testimony of it or not. We should never be silent in our testimony of its divine origin and relevance of our time. As good as they are, and as important as they are, the intellectual testimonies of our parents and grandparents and others regarding the Book of Mormon are not adequate for us. We must seek and have our own conviction, brothers and sisters. The conviction of its truth. Every generation since Joseph Smith's experience in the Grove, which does not have its own conviction of the truth of the restoration, allows the work to diminish among them. You think of the beautiful vase that your grandmother or your great-great-grandmother had. How she nurtured it, cherished it, polished it, kept it clean, was very careful not to drop it. Came time for her to die. So she passed it down to her daughter. Oh, she liked it. She enjoyed it. Thought it was pretty. She just didn't take the care that that beautiful vase merited. It was time for her to die. She handed it down to her daughter. She thought it was nice. It's a pretty vase. just kind of sat there on the shelf. Didn't really think that much of it after a while. Pretty soon the cleaning of it, it fell off and it broke, shattered into a million pieces. Can you now liken this to the Book of Mormon, brothers and sisters? We've got to keep this Book of Mormon clean from dust, not something just on our library table or coffee table. We have to have our own conviction, you young people. All of us have to have our own conviction. What a marvelous opportunity that we do have to have our own conviction. Therefore, we want to challenge you, or in other words, invite you, and I represent the pastorate when I say this. We want you, we want all of us, from the Zion age and up, to read the Book of Mormon. Not only read it, but to study it and understand it, come to know it and to love it by reunion time. Can we do that? I will guarantee you. That as we do that, the Lord will bless us beyond measure, frankly. We don't have to read it all in a few days. We have 20 weeks about, and we can do it. And those of you that have the younger children, you can read to them stories out of it, even. But by reunion time, let's all have read that Book of Mormon. I don't want to keep using that word. Let us all have studied that Book of Mormon. Not only will our reunion experience be enriched, but your life will be enriched. I have a good friend I grew up with. His parents said, if you read the Bible, we'll buy you a bicycle. We can't offer you a bicycle. But in that reading and that studying, he saw something more. John saw something more than what was there. He became familiar with it. He loved it. It intrigued him. And so he read that Bible. He got his bicycle. He stayed in the church. First thing you know, he was a high priest in the church, and that's kind of a different story how the church went back then, but the story is to you that he read that Bible. He became the president of Graceland College. Then he went and was president or vice president in three other colleges, came back to Graceland College, and now is the president again of Graceland College because of an experience that he had when he read that Bible. First thing you know, he said, my sights weren't set on the bicycle. I began to really enjoy it. That's what I feel it is with us in the Book of Mormon, brothers and sisters. I really feel like we will gain a keener insight as saints and as testimony givers to our brothers and our sisters of like faith and like mind, and also those who have never heard this gospel. We are they of whom the Lord said, other sheep I have which are not of this fold. He's talking in the Book of Mormon about you and about me. What a marvelous, marvelous privilege it is to have this Book of Mormon. The purpose of the Book of Mormon is that we might recognize the signs of the times, that we might repent, have faith, and respond to His Word. The outlook is not doom and gloom, or hopelessness, or fear, as we talked about in the 9:30 worship this morning, and I really appreciated that. It is a people who understand, who see it as the movement of God and respond in power to the things God has called His people to achieve. That's the relevance of the Book of Mormon in these last days, brothers and sisters. Oh, how blessed we are to have this Book of Mormon. I want to read something to you in closing that I sat down the other night and wrote some things. I've entitled it, Lord, Will It Be Okay? Lord, would it be okay if I stayed home today? I'm tired from working hard yesterday. I don't think anyone will really miss me. After all, we have a lot of workers, you see. Lord, would it be okay if I didn't bear my testimony tonight? I'll save time for others. Surely it'll be all right. Our young people can gain just as much by seeing their friends and such. Lord, would it be okay if I didn't study tonight? I'll know from experience what is right. I'll just sit here and take it all in. Surely in this there is no sin. What? What's that you say? Would it be okay if I didn't bless you today? My true disciples come in at the gate. All ye others must stay and wait.
Our dear Heavenly Father, we're grateful for this time that we've been able to meet and worship Thee, and worship Thee in freedom in this Thy sanctuary. We pray, Father, we might have a greater desire to study of Thee and Thy Son, Jesus. Pray that we might have a testimony of Thy Son, Jesus. We would pray for those gifts of faith and wisdom knowledge and understanding. We'd pray for the power of discernment that we might judge good from evil. Bless us throughout this day until we meet again this evening, where we would ask a benediction upon this service. In Jesus Christ's name do we pray. Amen.
Right. Yeah. Did you?